You're listening to the Homestaging Show podcast. I'm your host, Nilin. This is the show where we talk about all things real estate, homestaging, and selling your home to live and to sell. Welcome back to season 6. This is episode 9. Our show is brought to you by our in-house product, EcoGel, the eco-friendly St. Joseph Statue Home Selling Kit. In real estate, there's a tradition to bury St. Joseph statues for good luck. But because the existing products on the market were made with plastic, we made an eco-friendly one named Eco Joe. He's all natural, won't harm the earth. We're currently having a 50% off sale. For more information, you can go to ecojokits.com. ecojokits.com. This podcast is also brought to you by our Cash in the Cushions business courses for homestagers. If you're thinking about getting into the homestaging industry and not sure where to start, our launcher program is designed for just that. It's designed for those who are thinking about venturing into the homestaging industry and wants to get an overview of the industry. This 90-page workbook clarifies frequently asked questions about starting a homestaging business. It also helps you navigate the waters of the marketplace so you can avoid the common slip-ups. The course also includes 2 bonus classes. One video class shows you what happens on a homestaging consultation, and the other shows how I approach the vacant homestaging projects. Our signature course, the 6-figure floor plan, is designed to be a business in a box, where I help you to take all the kinks and guesswork out of building a successful and profitable homestaging business. It's a bit like a business incubator. We're going to have one module per week for 6 weeks. You're also going to have opportunities to ask questions and get support in our weekly office hours and private community as well. You can also upgrade the program by adding on a coaching package where you'll have additional support for your business after our course finishes. In this jam-packed online course, we're going to go over systems, contracts, pricing, proposals, inventory, marketing, technology, and everything you'll need to start getting clients. I'm going to show you the behind the scenes of how I built my homestaging business from the ground up, including worksheets, systems, scripts, and workflow that I've developed to build a bookseller homestaging business. You're also going to be able to see my pricing proposal, contracts, and basically every template I've ever created and used in my 6-figure homestaging business. The course enrollment is now closed, but you can get on the waitlist and find out more information about the course by going on our website at stagemore.com/6-figure-floor-plan. It's spelled stagemore.com, S-T-A-G-E-D, number 4, M-O-R-E, .com, /6-figure-floor-plan. Hey guys, welcome back to season 6, episode 9. On the show today, I have home seller Lisa on the show. Lisa is a homeowner who's staging the house on her own by doing a lot of research on the topic beforehand. She has been learning about home staging for the past 2 years, and I'm just super impressed by Lisa. She has a full-time job and animals, and she runs a blog and a YouTube channel. And she's able to accomplish a lot to stage her own house, which is a rural equestrian property. This is something a bit different than our usual demographic, because most of the time when we talk about homes on the shows, it's usually a condo or residential unit, a single family home. We actually never had talked about equestrian properties before. So on the show today, she's going to share her experiences staging her home herself, picking the right real estate agent, learning and researching the market, and learning the ins and outs of the home staging on her own. I love having Lisa on the show. She's a longtime supporter of our podcast. She has also completed our 30-day home staging challenge. I think it's really great to be able to get a home seller's perspective when it comes to selling and staging their home for sale, and especially for understanding the challenges they face and what they take on staging on their own. And I also hope these experiences will encourage you and inspire you when you have hit the wall staging your house. So I hope you'll get a lot of out of this episode and also the next episode we have on the show.
So Lisa, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background? So what is it that you do?
So during the day, I am a registered nurse, and I'm a foot nurse, so I look at feet wounds and stuff all day, which is really fun. But then on my downtime, I run a blog myself that's all related around horses and anything having to do like DIY horse stuff. And also, I'm really creative, and I love to do projects. So A lot of times I'll do DIY projects related to horses, but also my husband and I both do a lot of our own home projects. So when we find something that we want to do, we figure out how to do it and we do it ourselves.
That is super cool. I really love that. And so where are you located right now?
So we live in a town about 40 miles southeast of Denver. It's in Elizabeth, and population, I don't even know. I think the county that we live in, I think the population is something like 20,000 people. So it's tiny. So like I work in town. It's about a 45-minute commute, but then I get to go out to the country on my way home. So there's not a lot of people around.
Hmm. So do you currently live on a horse property then?
I live on a horse property right now, yes.
Wow. I am a total city girl, but have no idea what that entails. So what are typical buyers looking for in this type of home?
So when someone is looking for an equestrian property or a horse property, one of the biggest factors, I think, and I can tell you this from my own personal search, is the property has to have a barn. And not, there's different types of barns that they can have. But if you have a barn that has actual stalls inside of it, so literally it would be like a giant garage. So the horses would live inside the barn, be completely protected from all of the elements, especially here in Colorado. It snows a lot during the winter. So being able to keep them cooped up inside is definitely a bonus. People also really like if the property is fenced. That's a big one, too, because if you're going and, you know, looking at a house on 5 acres, 10 acres, or 40 acres, and you have to do all of the fencing and build the barn, that kind of moves it down the list of what someone would want. If all of that stuff is already done, that's going to move it way up higher. I know it does in my list when I'm looking at houses. And then also with the horse properties, if you do have a barn, so that's like number one important thing is to have a barn, but a riding arena, so like an area that is designated so that you can actually ride your horses, a fenced-in area, and the barn having electricity and water. Because some of the houses that we've looked at, they might have a little barn or a lean-to, which is like a three-sided barn for the horses, but they don't have running water in the barn or electric. So it makes it really difficult in the wintertime and actually even in the summertime trying to get water out to the horses.
That makes total sense. And how far is really the barn away from the main house, or is it fairly close?
They're pretty close. So I would say, so like our barn and our horse pasture where that is from our property or from our house itself, it's probably about 150 yards.
Okay.
So not terribly far away. Some people do keep their barns further away, and then you have to think about getting like a little golf cart or something so you can drive down to the barn.
I see. Okay. I know this sounds like total ridiculous questions, but it's not really a lifestyle I'm really familiar with. So it's really interesting. So when you were staging, did you stage both the barn and your main house as well?
Yes. And not only the barn itself, but then also like the riding area. So I have two horses that I use for jumping. So I actually set the riding arena up, not necessarily like an Olympic riding arena, but how they have the jumps and stuff in the arenas. Because I want to portray that everything is ready to go. It's, you know, someone with horses could move right in. Oh, look, I can go jump my horses. And just basically making it like everything is just perfect for someone moving in. So not only with the stalls and the barn itself, making sure the hay looks nice, but also the tack room. So where you keep your equipment that you're going to be riding your horses, making sure that the bridles are all hung up properly, you know, the head collars for the horses. I don't have my saddles in my tack room because the saddles are very expensive. And if someone's coming to look at my house, I don't want my saddles to disappear.
Wow. Okay. There's all things I have no idea about. That's amazing, though.
Yeah. It's challenging for someone like me who is getting started doing my own home staging because, number one, I want to make sure that I'm putting the property to look the best that it can for anybody that can come in. So I'm, like, diving into the internet looking for anything on how to stage a horse property, how to stage a rural property. And there's really not a lot out there for people that live in the country.
That's a really good point. I believe there's not. it really comes from the city, really, because there's a lot of competition in general.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's not really a market that people have tapped into. That's actually pretty fascinating. I'm sure there's a lot of niche properties that home stagings are not really popular in yet, but probably may start getting more attention because it's becoming such a more popular concept everywhere.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, like you said, it's an untapped market. So there, it's out there for anybody that wants to get into it.
True. And so what are the typical buyers like? I'm assuming they're probably a little bit older, you know, because I think horse property, you probably have had a significant capital to purchase.
You know, it's really interesting because there have been the houses that have sold in our neighborhood, and our property is only 2 acres, so it's not like a humongous farm or anything. But the people that are moving into our neighborhood, they're actually like younger families, and they have children, I'd say, anywhere from ages, I'm thinking probably around 6 to like 15. So it's like people from the suburbs are wanting to get further out, or they're wanting to bring their families out and raise them in a more country environment without being super far away from the city. To me, it's really interesting. So a lot of the people in our neighborhood are getting older, so they're moving on, moving out, probably going to like 55-plus communities because they don't want to have the upkeep of the big yard, the barns and stuff. But it's a lot of younger families that are moving in.
I find this whole thing very fascinating. So a lot of times, I think one of the most difficult things is like when you're staging and you're selling it all at the same time, it's really difficult to be able to live in a stage home. So is that even an extra challenge for you? Because not only you have the home to upkeep, but you also have to upkeep with your horses.
Yep. You got to make sure they look pretty all the time. The stalls have to be clean because you don't know when the realtor is going to call and say, hey, I have, you know, I have a showing, so we need to get out in an hour. Because not only do we have horses, but of course we have dogs, we have cats. So we have to gather up all of our other animals and get them out of the way for a showing. But we also have to make sure that the horses, everything that is clean. So typically I will clean the stalls twice a day. And in anticipation of, I've got to make sure that everything looks good and it could be ready to be shown at a moment's notice.
Wow, my gosh. That is amazing. That is so much work. I applaud that you're able to do that. I think it's quite a feat. Is it because that you really couldn't find anyone who stages in this type of property of your home? That's why you decided to stage it yourself?
Actually, I decided when I found your podcast, my husband and I, we knew we were going to be getting ready to sell our house because the house, it's too big for us. It's 4 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. And our youngest child, she just graduated from high school and she's starting college in the fall. And we're like going, you know, we don't need this much of a house. So we started thinking about this pretty much like 2 years ago that we're going to start getting in the mode to get our house ready for sale. And I found your podcast and I just started listening and I'm going, okay, I'm going to do everything I can in baby steps to get me to the point of where I really want to be so that when the time comes that we find another house, we're ready to go, then we can just kind of make it happen. And it wouldn't be so stressful just trying to get everything done because it just seems like there's so much that needs to be done in order to make it just ready to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially if you're staging it yourself, you definitely need to allow yourself that extra time compared to where you hire someone. I mean, it's definitely much faster because obviously someone is there taking care of all the details for you.
Right.
Where you're doing yourself, you also, I think most of the time when sellers like you, you know, stage your house yourself, you always want to be perfect. So
yes.
You spend more time on individual areas where a stager is like, this is good. I mean, it's not like the stagers are being lazy, but the thing is that usually when we're hired, we have to do 1 day turnaround or at least
right.
Or 2 day at most. So it's like we have to make sure it's at a good enough standard, especially compared to the comparable homes, your competitors basically listening to your neighborhood. But I think with homeowners, it's different because a lot of sellers I talk to, for whatever reason they're selling, it is also a process for them. It's a process for them to remove themselves emotionally. And whereas just hiring someone to come into performance service, it's kind of a two different mindset. So yeah, usually if sellers want to stage it themselves, I usually advise them to pad in a longer period if they can.
Yes. And the really, the neat thing is the realtor that we actually ended up hiring to help us, and I was so excited about this, he actually has a home stager, because it doesn't seem like, especially in our market, the area that we live in, a lot of the realtors don't utilize a home stager or a home staging service. So then people like me are kind of left to their own to figure out how they're going to get their home staged, because there's not a lot of home staging that I've seen out here. And getting someone to come from the city, from like Denver out there, they're like, oh, I don't go out there. That's too far.
Yeah.
So it makes it a challenge.
Definitely. So I'm glad you found me.
I am too.
My own form, but I'm really glad. I mean, that's one of the magical things I find with the podcast. And that's actually really encouraging to keep going, because interviewing sellers like you, who may not have regular access to a home stager in a nearby area, but you're able to benefit from this tool that really will help you get
absolutely
a higher listing price or selling for faster.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I can't even put into words how much you have helped me, and I'm sure countless other people that we don't have the capabilities of hiring a stager for whatever reason. But, I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm just going to listen to Cindy, and she's going to walk me through this. I'm going to do this step by step, and we're going to be fine.
And you are. And so is your house on the market now?
It is not officially on the market. We are ready to go. Everything is done, perfect, ready to go. It's hard to live like that. But with the markets being the way it is out here, houses are listed, and within 2 days, they're already under contract. There's multiple offers, and they're getting higher than their asking price. So we're like going, okay, we don't want to be homeless. So we don't want to have our house, you know, sell, and then we have nowhere to go.
Oh, gosh. Especially you have such a big family with all
yes.
the animals. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, now we got to find a place for our horses, our dogs, our cat. Oh, and our chickens, because we have chickens, too. So it's like, I look at realtor.com on a daily basis. I look at Zillow on a daily basis. There is another website here. It's called RE Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them on a daily basis. And then I actually also go back, because they show you the houses that are currently on the market. They show you houses that are under contract and then ones that have sold. So you can kind of track like when they were listed, when they were under contract. So I can kind of, you know, see what's going on in our market, but I watch it like a hawk until we find that house.
That's amazing. I love you for that, because I think that's so important. I think one of the most important things for sellers to do is to really understand your neighborhood and also understand how fast things are moving and also like how the pricing is changing your neighborhood as well. And that takes time and research. And I mean, I think it's just amazing that you're able to watch it every day. And I think that is super.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit addicted to it now. It's like the first thing I do in the morning is get up and go look at RE Colorado and say, especially like, you know, Thursday, Friday, I know that's when they're going to start bringing out the houses. Like, oh, the weekend's coming up. They should have a couple new houses.
Especially what a lot of realtors do, like they really have to learn, you know, especially if they specialize in a neighborhood, they really have to learn the listings, because then if they have buyer's clients, for example, they are able to immediately tell them, hey, there's something that just came up, I think we'll really love, and so forth. And
right.
Same thing with sellers. I think it's so important, especially knowing what your competition looks like, I think is super important.
I think so, too. And I will go to open houses, especially if they're in like a 5-mile radius of our home, because I want to see what they have versus what we have. And I want to see how our house compares to theirs. And it also helps me then to go back to my house and go, oh, my gosh, well, I should, you know, I've got too much stuff in here. There's too much stuff in the kitchen, too many pictures on the walls. I really liked how they did this. And just kind of, you know, not comparing it, but at the same time comparing how they have their staging done versus what I've done.
That is awesome. You're like an A-plus student. Oh my god!
Thank you. I had a really good teacher.
Thank you. That's really nice. And so how did you find out about home staging in the beginning?
So in the beginning, I just basically was doing like Google searches and would see things pop up, and then also watching different programs like on HDTV where they have The Flip versus Flop, I think, is one of the shows. And they would talk about bringing in home stagers. And I'm like, well, home staging, what's home staging? So I just do a Google search for it and like, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting.
That's awesome. And then so when you started working on your home, did you talk to a real estate agent already, or this was before everything got started?
We kind of talked to a couple of different real estate agents, and it was before we were really serious, but we would see a house that we liked. So I would call them up to go look at the house. So I was kind of feeling them out to see if they would be a good match for us if we did decide to go down that road. And none of them really worked out. We just didn't click. And that was until we met our realtor that we actually are working with now. And I was just like, he's the one. This guy's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bit like a dating process, actually. I think it's super important to work with an agent that you really click with, and that's going to be this. They're basically like a team, you know, they're a little bit like a coach. They're going to tell you things that you might not really want to hear, but it's all for your own benefit, basically.
It is.
And it's so important to have a really good agent. When I look at people who don't have successful sales, a lot of times it's because they just think that, well, real estate agent, all I do is put things on the MLS, on the internet, and that's it.
Right.
But actually, they do a lot more because they have to know how to market your type of property. They have to really understand your neighborhood. And they really, actually, they also have to have a really good network. A lot of times, real estate agents talk to each other, especially they know they've been an agent in their office looking for a particular property, and then yours is coming up, and then they can tell them to come bring their clients over. So they can boost the foot traffic into your open house. And all those are really, really important. And I think this is why I think it's great that you were able to find the realtor that really clicked you guys and then like have a really good communication with, because that's really important during the selling process.
And I think the communication is, that's key. And the thing that he did for us was, he's very patient with us. He's like, I don't care if you don't find the perfect house for a year or for 2 years. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. So then when we finally brought him over to our house, just the way he explained everything, he has basically a complete marketing plan for how he lists a house. He explains everything that he does, what he expects of us. It was really nice to know step by step, this is what he's going to do. This is what he expects from us. And it's a partnership, just like you said.
I think that's great. I really like one of the things you said about your agent about how, what he expects of you. I think that is super important. And it's actually rare because I don't hear that a lot. And I think that's really awesome that he's able to set that expectations of and actually hold you accountable for it. Because a lot of times, I think one of the biggest issues we have on the staging side or also like we see, real estate agents and stagers, we kind of have this insulation because we don't have the direct contact with sellers most of the time. Unless sellers have questions about staging, then I will call them and talk to them about it, or I meet them in the initial consultation. But the thing is that a lot of times when there's issues with a sale, usually it has to do with seller not being resistant. And of course, that's a lot of different issues involved. Usually it's some sort of emotional issues. Maybe they're selling a house in a situation that they don't want to be. So then there's a lot of resistance, then sellers might not necessarily pack everything that they promise you to pack. We have worked with sellers who are basically borderline hoarder, where they live in the home for 40 years, they did not want to move, and they did not want to pack. And that really hindered a lot of selling process. So I'm really happy to hear that your agent is really giving you that accountability, and he's telling you upfront, like, hey, this is my working style, and this is what I expect of you.
Yeah, and I think that's why we, mesh so well, is because he does tell us this is what I expect and this is the time frame that we're going to do it in. And I don't take offense to that at all, because in the long run, this is to benefit me and my husband, because by us doing what he's asking us to do, this is going to get us to the next level of what we want, which is a new home. And we're the ones that want to move, so...
That's great. I love it. Like, you're just so open to everything. I think that's really awesome.
Well, like I said, I have a really good mentor and a good teacher. It's because I've listened to you for so long now.
That's great. Yeah, I remember, because I think you were one of the first listeners on the show, which
I think so. I think I left, I can't even remember how long ago I left my review on iTunes. It was I was just like, I can't believe I found this. This is the most amazing podcast ever.
And I have to say, I feel a bit embarrassed about it. But I think when I first started podcasting, I really didn't know what I was doing. And it's like, the quality is terrible. That's why, like, most of season one is off iTunes. I just sound like an alien.
I still liked it. But see, that is what is so neat about you and this whole process and what you've done, because we all have to start somewhere. And I know exactly what you mean, because I have a YouTube channel that's all related to my horse stuff. So I go back and look at my first videos that I've created, and I'm like, oh my God, those are horrible. So, but it's just like, you know, we learn and we get better. And I think the whole home selling, home staging process from like a home seller's point of view, it's just a learning process, just like everything else that we do.
So was it pretty daunting when you first started?
Yes, yes, especially because I am a list person. So I make these huge, long lists. And it's really easy to make this list, you know, with 25 to 30 items on it, and then tell myself that I'm going to get this done all in the weekend. Well, you and I both know that's not going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then I get a little bit, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. But just, you know, doing the process and doing it a little bit at a time and doing what I can. And I'm not setting such huge, unrealistic goals for myself, and realizing that I'm not going to get everything done on my time frame. And that's okay. I'm just going to try as hard as I can.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, you know, we do it the same thing. I mean, I do the same thing, too, with work. It's like, oh my God, I feel so unproductive. But the thing is, like, if you think about it on the flip side, everything you've done has push yourself, the progress forward a little bit, no matter how little it is, it's still a progress.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's great. And then, so what kind of preparation did you start doing when you decided to stage your house yourself?
So I think the biggest thing that I did was basically trying to unattach myself to the house, because I've lived in this house for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So there is an emotional connection. I mean, I still drive home and drive up, and it's just like, oh, I love the way this looks. But starting one room at a time and just decluttering, I know you don't like that word, but kind of downsizing our stuff, getting rid of the stuff that we didn't use. And if we were we have closets in the basement that I know I hadn't been in probably at least a year. So basically everything in that closet, it was okay to go. And then one of the barns that we have, it was just like a catch-all. So we would take things from the house, we'd put them in the garage, and then we'd move them into the barn. Well, the barn was becoming so full, it was almost unusable. So what we did, I think it was probably 2 months ago or a month ago that we did this. We rented one of the roll-off dumpsters, and I felt really guilty doing it because there was a lot of things that I threw out. And I was like, this is horrible. I'm filling up a landfill. But the stuff, I mean, it wasn't salvageable. It wasn't something that I could take to a thrift store or donate. It was stuff basically that was trash. So we cleaned out everything. And I think the dumpster, I mean, it was very reasonably priced. I mean, it was like $250 for this huge dumpster. They came and dropped it off at our house. We filled it up. They came and took it away.
And I feel so good doing that. Oh, my God.
You know, like I said, I felt really guilty about all of the stuff that I had wasted. But at the same time, when it was all done, yes, that was the best feeling I have had in such a long time. And I think that's kind of what's helping to keep us motivated and going forward, since our house isn't currently listed right now, is we think really hard about anything that we bring into the house. Because I don't want to ever have to do that again.
Right. It's a big process. I'm doing that myself right now because I'm moving out of California in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And it's emotional. I mean, even though I know, like, realistically, I have not, you know, wore this shirt for, you know, 3 years or something like that. But I'm like, it's still a good shirt, you know, like. It's hard to part with things. I don't know why.
I know. I don't understand that either. And I've heard people say, well, take a picture of it, you know, make a scrapbook or whatever. And I'm like, I get that, but it's not the same. It's just, I don't know why. It's just a thing. It's just stuff, but it does have a hold on us.
It does. I mean, it is It is quite strange. I think that's why we have so many things in general, because we find it difficult to part with things.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And so how long did the whole process take you?
The entire process, I would say probably a good 2 to 3 months, but I was not going at it hardcore, you know, like I'm just going to get everything done in one weekend. But I think the best thing that helped me with whittling it down was when you came out with your 30-day home staging challenge.
Oh,
that really helped me to stay focused and see how that I could get it done in 30 days.
Did you get it done in 30 days?
I did not, but I already had a head start.
That's cool.
Because I have been working on it. But I can say by the time I got done with your 30-day home staging challenge, I was pretty close to being done. So I think I would say 45 days.
That's great, though. I always wonder, I was just like, is this realistic? But I mean, if I call it 60-day home staging challenge, I think no one would do it. It just sounds too long. But I think 30-day was also a good kind of measurement that I think most people, by the time they finish the challenge, they should be at least 80% done.
Yeah.
They consistently do what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I think my favorite part was, and I actually took it and listened to it again, and I was like going, I would probably do this in the beginning too, where you literally walk up to the house with the list and write down and take pictures and kind of do it like a first step and then going back to it at the very end to see the progress that you've made.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I think a lot of times we don't give ourselves enough credit about how much we have come. And I think mm-hmm. that is actually a really good way to review all the progress that you made and what a significant change that your house has become.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I'm always curious to see people's before and after photos. So it's actually really nice when people post them or send them to me. I'm like, yay.
I know. I love looking in the Facebook group at seeing the photos that are coming through. And I posted a couple of mine when you had the 30-day challenge mm-hmm. start. And I didn't see anybody else's, and I was like, oh, no one else is doing this with me. And then recently I've seen some more pictures going up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, these people are incredible. So I really have to up my game.
Yeah. No, it is. There's some really incredible do-it-yourself staging in our group. And I could say I have seen some really horrible staging in my professional life, but I think most of the time it's because the home sellers, they don't really understand what staging really is. They just thought that, well, if I just put something in the corner, that is staging. And I mean,
right.
I can do that myself kind of thing. And so I have tour homes where they were, I think I talked about this on the challenge, where it was like somebody staged a child's room and there were like mannequin babies in the crib.
Yes.
It's very, very creepy, actually. But there are a lot of mannequin children on MLS photos. If people ever search down MLS photos, I think most of the things they would see, a lot of it actually are mannequins in stage homes. And they just look very stiff and kind of freaky, like a horror movie kind of thing. Well, the house is very, very cluttered. So
yes.
So it's a lot of times people have this misconception that, well, like home staging, what home stages do is they just put stuff in the house. But actually everything you put in your house has a purpose and a reason behind it. For example, in the living room, what we talk about in the challenge as well, it's like you want to make sure there's a traffic flow. The living room is really a place for people to have conversations in. So, like, you want to stage it so, like, people can imagine themselves having their friends over and entertaining, that kind of stuff, to fulfill the real purpose of the home.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, like, from what I took from it, that's, like, the gathering room. So the TV and all of that stuff, that doesn't belong in the living room. That belongs down in the family room.
That's great. So when you moved the TV, did your husband complain?
A little bit, but he's okay with it now because then he has his little gaming TV that he has sitting down next to the big TV. I think he feels it's more of his man cave now area, and I think he's embraced it now.
That's cool. That's so cute. I mean, one of the things I find that when sellers complain about staging is usually the husband. It's like, you move my TV chair. I was like, usually the number one complaint we'll get is like, you move my TV chair. Now I can't watch television the way I want to.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not going to be for very long. Once your house is, you know, under contract, well, then you can move that TV chair back up, move the TV back up where you want it to go. But we're not doing this for us. We're doing it for the potential people that'll be hopefully buying our home.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to get the buy-in of your spouse and people in your family. There's not everybody believe in staging. I just interviewed one of the sellers in the group as well. And in the beginning, like, everybody told her that staging is so silly, your house already looks nice. But we saw her photos. They look amazing.
Yes, they were beautiful.
And even the naysayer, she was saying that even, like, after she finished all this stuff, and people were like, well, you're right, actually. Like,
yeah.
We're glad you didn't listen to us.
Yep, we just have to stay focused and positive, and maybe we can win them over, or at least
exactly.
Until the house sells.
Yeah. And so what was the most challenging part for you throughout this entire process?
So far, the most challenging part, it hasn't been anything as far as the home staging for the most part. But I'm not gifted as far as like visualizing how something is going to look. So sometimes if I would set something up, like even, you know, setting up little sets of three, trying to make it just look just perfect without making it look staged, sometimes that's more of a challenge for me. And knowing which colors go best together, or do these pillows work with this? Is this too much? So knowing what is too much and just, you know, what is just right, I think that is definitely something that someone like you and professional stagers, I mean, you guys know this inside and out. This is what you do. And I'm just going, well, I think it looks okay, but it's not quite right.
That's pretty cool, though. And so you said that your real estate agent actually has a stager.
He does. And I am so excited to meet her. So once we, quote, get officially listed, and like I said, he already has a plan of when the stager comes. And then she leaves. She gives us a homework list. She comes back the morning before photos are done. And he also, thankfully, has a professional photographer. So the staging will be completed, and then the photography will happen the same day.
That's fantastic. That sounds like an amazing realtor for me. It's just that he has all his systems set up. That's great.
Yeah. He's awesome. I've never seen anyone like him. And it's interesting because I had a friend of mine. So we both started looking at houses at the same time, just recently, I should say. But she took it one step further. She found a house that she wanted. So she had a realtor friend. I think actually she bought the house that she lives in now, or lived in. And she called her realtor, and they went and looked at houses. Her realtor came and said, this was like on a Tuesday or Sunday. She's like, we are going to have your house listed and ready for sale by Wednesday. And I was like, Linda, let me come help you. I'm like, I know I'm not a professional, but I can help you. I can help you clean up. You know, we'll get things ready to go. And she's like, no, she really wants to get this done fast. And I was like, but it's not going to help you. So long story short, they rushed it. She was shoving stuff in closets, she told me, shoving stuff under beds. And I was just kind of cringing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And they did end up selling their house. I think they went, it was like they had two full price offers. And then someone else came in and offered them like $1,000 above asking price. But I was like, I think you really could have gotten a lot more than what you did if your realtor would have really helped you out on this.
Yeah, I think preparation is really important. I think that's the thing we see a lot, I think, as stagers, that the homeowner's like, well, my house is very nice, it's going to sell. But I think it comes down to selling at a higher price, especially in today's market. Again, it is really about presentation.
Right. And that's what I've gotten from you. And I mean, I've heard you say several times, you're leaving cash on the table. So it's like, I want to sell my house to make sure that I can get the most that I can. And if it's going to take me an extra 2 weeks to get it prepared, well, I'm probably going to take the extra 2 weeks and put the work in it to make sure that I get the return on my investment.
And I believe you will. You've done a lot, especially, I'm just so amazed by how much you have done, especially that you have a job and then you also does your video, or your YouTube channel. And then you also have animals. You have chickens and you have dogs and cats. I mean, it's like a lot. I think most people pretty much just have a full-time job. And I'm sorry, like some of my sellers, older clients are just like, past clients are just like, I should have packed up, but I didn't. But you've got done so much. I mean, that's really incredible.
Yeah, I have good motivation, and like I said, I've listened to you, and you motivate me, and I also, it's like I know what I want, so I'm focused, and I know I'm going to get to that next level because I'm willing to invest myself into whatever it is that I do.
That's awesome. And so you must be really good at managing your time.
For the most part, I think I am. Like I said, I create lists like crazy. Actually, this morning I was making a list of, okay, this is what I have to do this weekend. So I'm, you know, and I don't think that I'm incredibly organized, but I know there's only so many hours in the day, and I'm going to use those hours to the best of my ability to get the most out of the day that I can.
That's amazing. That is so great. And what is the funnest part of the whole process for you?
The funnest part has been seeing where the transformation, and especially seeing like before and after pictures, because we like to document everything that we do. So, for example, we replaced a sliding glass door and we added beadboard around both sides of it, and just we repainted it and everything, but it just made it so much more updated. And of course, we got everything out, and I was like, this looks like a model home picture. This is awesome. So seeing the transformation of each room that we've done, it makes me proud to say, I did this with my husband's help, of course. But then it also makes me proud to know that, yes, I'm okay with moving, and I'm happy to have other people come in this house and look at it and hopefully potentially make it their own.
And what I really love about all these DIY projects is that you learn how to do this and you can do it in your new home. And then same thing with all these skills that we teach you about how to put homes together. I think,
yes,
especially during the 30-day challenge, they really talk about specific room and stuff. You can totally do that in your new home. And I just find that working on your house is actually very satisfying because you live in it all the time. You spend a lot of time in it. You know, a home is our sanctuary. So it's really important to have a really enjoyable space. So I really love to hear all the stories like yours and Agnes's and stuff. And especially, I know in the Facebook group, for example, like Agnes creates that, basically the whole like backyard patio. Like originally it looked really sad. It was just like this empty cement floor. And then she was able to like stencil everything. And then I was talking to her about it. She just like, she didn't have a lot of budget either. So she sourced from, you know, like a wedding supply store for curtains, for example. She just bought these really cheap fabrics that look really nice. And she was able to, like, go on Pinterest and then look for tutorials on how to make no-sew curtains. And then she just was able to pull that whole patio together.
It was incredible. That was the most beautiful thing I've seen. And then the picture that she has where I think it's a church in the background with, like, the water, I was like, oh, my gosh. I would hire her if she was a home stager. It was beautiful.
I know. That's what I said to her. I was just like, you have a really good future in real estate if you want to switch over, because it's all about outside-the-box thinking and problem-solving.
Yeah.
And she was very personal. And actually, you too. I think that if you want, you can totally switch into real estate, especially if you look at listings every morning.
I love it. See, that's the only thing that scares me. If I did do something like that, then that might take my joy out of it because I love it so much. It's just so much fun to look and just see what's happening. And I'm like, it's my passion.
Yeah, you never know. But actually, a lot of stagers started because they sold their own home and they did it themselves. And the real estate agents always like, oh, you should be able to stage houses. Like, do you want to stage my listings kind of thing? That's how a lot of stagers actually started. And they do it and because they love it. Business can be difficult at times, but, you know, it's the passion. I truly believe in passion. Like, you really have to love what you do. And it shows in every part of your life as well.
I agree.
And so did you feel like you had enough time to get everything done, or you feel like you still need time and you still want to work on the house a little bit more?
You know, I think we pretty much got everything done to the point of that we can without going overkill on it. So now it's just, continuing keeping up the maintenance, making sure the yard looks pretty. If we need to bring in some fresh flowers or something because the seasonal ones have died off, we'll do things like that. But as far as we've pretty much done everything. The windows are done. The doors are done. I mean, the painting is done. And now we just need to make sure that we keep it presentable until the right house comes along for us to move into.
That's awesome. And throughout this whole process, Is there anything that was unexpected and surprising for you?
I think the most unexpected, where I thought I had done really well, then I took a picture of a room, and then I looked at that picture, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks horrible. Because, you know, it was like there was too much stuff in the room. And so then that was kind of an eye opener. And you actually had talked about that during the 30-day challenge, about going through the rooms and taking photos. And then also I had a friend of mine actually come over, use the exact same camera and take pictures of every room. And then I put them down on my computer because I wanted to see what her take of each room was. I wanted to see where she focused on. So that was an eye-opener for me, and I thought things had been done pretty, and then I was like, nope, that's still too much stuff. And I would not have realized it unless I took a picture and actually looked at it.
Yeah, and actually, I had worked on professional photo shoots, you know, for catalogs, you know, like Harry Barn kind of companies. And that's one of the things I learned, too, is just that the way camera sees photographs, I mean, sees the space is really different than human eye. So when you're in the home, you feel fine. But when you take a photo, I mean, when they say a camera adds 10 pounds, I mean, it's the same with space. Like, all the clutter, all of a sudden just get magnified. And that's why I really recommend people, once, you know, if you stay at your house, after you're done, take a picture of the room and then kind of step back and see what are some of the areas that you might want to improve. Especially more than 90% of people look at homes on the internet first now. So it's really important that you really want to have a really good visual presentation when you're on the internet.
Yeah, because you never know. Someone might be looking at your house from, like, California or Colorado or New Hampshire or Jersey. You never know where a potential buyer might be coming from.
Yeah, and not only so, I was chatting with a real estate agent this morning, and she said something that I really never thought about, because she works with both buyers and sellers. And a lot of buyers, because they're really stuck, they're coming in from always been renting, right? So when you're renting, you're very restricted. In terms of, like, most of the time you can't really paint. If you paint, you have to get permission. Like, when I painted my apartment, I had to get permission and I had to paint everything back white when I moved out. So you don't really think about, like, ways that you can create different space in your home. Like, so a lot of times you show houses to buyers, and buyers are like, I hate that countertop. And you'll be like, well, when you buy it, you can change it. And the buyer's like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that. But if they didn't have a real estate agent there to tell them that, they probably look on the internet and are like, oh, I hate that countertop, next house. You know? So it's, like, super important to be able to, like, stage your house to help people mentally move into your house, whether they're online or in person.
Yes.
And then, so did you use everything you owned, or did you buy more stuff as well to kind of help with the staging?
You know, actually, I downsized a lot of the stuff that I had. Some of the stuff that I used was what I had, but then I was very particular about things that I bought because I didn't want to bring in just more stuff. So I found a couple things that I really, really liked. And I mean, one was kind of like, they were artificial plants, but they were like the succulent type of plants. So, and I think there were 6 stems and I paid $6 for it. And then I got these really cute little galvanized pails and made like little, you know, put the greenery in them. And I think out of anything I got, those were my most favorite thing that I got. And it was like $15 or $20.
That's great. And then you'll probably use them in your new house as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So that works out very well. Usually when people are going through that process, I usually don't recommend sellers to buy a lot of things unless it's things that they really need and they can use in their new house. For example, like maybe their bedding is really old and it doesn't look very good. And then so I'll be like, well, just, the perfect time for invest in your new bedding. It's not like buyers are going to come in and sleep in your bed anyway. It's just for show. So that's a really good thing to purchase. Same thing with towels. I think those are the most common things. If I were to ask homeowners to buy, that's usually the things I ask them to buy. So.
Yeah, and those aren't very expensive at all. And like you said, you can take them with you when you move to your new home, because after all, that's your goal.
Yeah. And so did you do any major work for the house when you were prepping
We did a lot of work. Some of it was with the intention of that we were going to be selling it, and some of it was just to update it. So all of the kitchen cabinets were painted because I was like, I'm not going to replace these because someone else might not like the style anyway. So if they want to do it, we'll let them replace it. We'll just make sure they look nice. We added crown molding. We added granite countertops. We took out carpeting, did laminate flooring. We replaced all of the doors with more updated doors, which was actually really, really easy to do. And each of the doors was like $25. So I think that was probably one of the biggest bangs for the buck that we got. Instead of having like the 1980s dark wood doors and trim, everything is now bright white and it looks updated and was really inexpensive.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah, because I saw some of your videos and they look fantastic.
Thank you. It was fun, and it really, I mean, it wasn't hard. It did take a little bit of time, but it really was not difficult at all. I think pretty much anybody could do it especially if they're, you know, motivated and they're like, hey, this is going to help sell my house, then I think they would be willing to do it.
Yeah, and I think also that both you and your husband, both of you are very handy to begin with. So you already have a very good handle, I think, on these kind of home improvement projects.
Yeah. But like you said, these are projects that we can take with us to a new home. And that also is a good thing because then, you know, we can look past when we're looking at other houses, we can look past the clutter. We can look, you know, if it's dated, we're like, well, that's just some paint. That's just, you know, this. We can fix that. So we might get a really nice house.
Yeah, exactly. And so it sounds like you did most of the work on your own, right?
We did do most of it. We have a hot tub and that's like built into our deck, and we are not electricians or plumbers, so we know our limitations. Mm-hmm. So we did hire an electrician to come out and work, make sure everything was working with the hot tub. And then we had a hot tub specialist look at that. And then also we did have, we turned a closet in our master bedroom into a bathroom, but we hired a plumber to come out and do that. So he would pull all the permits and everything to make sure everything was done correctly. He did all the plumbing stuff, and then we put everything in.
That's great. And then so you're looking for a new home now.
Yep.
I'm so excited. But I think that also probably give you an interesting perspective from a buyer's standpoint, because I think that probably makes you more aware of things.
Yes.
Like different things that buyers would notice that sellers don't.
Right. I think so. Because then when you're doing all of the home staging, getting your house ready, and you're putting so much effort into making sure you have a good product that you're presenting to other people, when you go out and look at products for yourself, you're like going, well, you guys didn't do as much as I did. But I mean, it does give you, I mean, you learn to look at things.
You do. And I think a lot of times, I'm not sure if this is going to offend people, but whatever. But a lot of times people say that sellers who don't stage are a little bit less sophisticated because they don't understand the true value of marketing. Uh-huh. And so a lot of times those are the type of houses that you can negotiate a little bit more because the sellers don't really understand the value of presentation.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how 100% that saying is true. I certainly don't want to offend anybody. But in a lot of ways, there are some truth to it because staging does help. I mean, just like any product on the market, if you go to a grocery store, even just buy a bag of popcorn, that packaging is designed by some graphic designer with a department. And there's a marketing professional just to market a bag of chips. So, I mean, a bag of chips is not that expensive. So think about your house. Your house is much more expensive. Why not spend the time and effort to really make it shine on the marketplace, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that could be the difference between your house selling right away or sitting on the market for 30 or 60 days. I don't know if any houses stay on the market that long anymore. If they do, it's because it's not really presented very nice.
Yeah, and that's one of the feedback I hear from real estate agents, both through the podcast and also like when I was working as well, because especially in my market in San Francisco Bay Area, it's a really, really crazy market. Mm-hmm. So if you have a home that's been on the market for more than 30 days, the first thing buyers and the agents will question is that, well, what is wrong with your house? Is there something wrong with foundation, or is it haunted or something? And that's why no one's putting an offer on it. And so the first thing they would do is negotiate price down.
Yep.
So I think it's really important to be very mindful. And I'm a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell, and he had this book called Blink. It's all about first impression. And first impression is really the most important thing because you only get one first impression. And usually within 15 seconds or so, buyers can really figure out distinctively if they're going to like this house or not. So that's why I think presentation is very important. And this is why the process of depersonalizing and decluttering it's really important. I just don't like those two words because I feel like most people just put emphasis on those two and they don't go further into that.
Yeah.
But like the way you position your furniture, the way you pull colors together to create a really lovely, welcoming and open environment, it's really going to help your house shine on the marketplace.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah, I know so. Especially if your real estate agent is so well prepared with marketing and he's also going to have his home stager come in, I don't think you're going to have issues selling your house at all.
I hope not. I don't think so. The way things are going, yeah, I don't think we will. Because we know what is, you know, a realistic asking price, and we're okay with that. We're not going to ask tons of money for our house just because, oh, everybody else is getting it. No, we know what's realistic, and I think we're pretty well prepared.
Yeah, that's great. And so my last question for you would be, what is the one tip you'll give to other homeowners who are going to stage your house for sale?
So I think this is really tough. It's really hard to choose one thing, but I would have to say that my number one suggestion to anyone that is getting ready to put their house up for sale is you really, really, really need professional help, no matter where you find it. So like my best place to start was coming to Cindy Lynn and listening to the home staging show and then also her 30-day home staging challenge. That was incredible. I think anybody that is not sure which way, you know, how to go about this, that is such a valuable tool to get someone started.
That is amazing. By the way, I didn't pay Lisa to say that. But that's really incredible. So thank you. So if you have other tips, like number two or number three, what would you say?
Number two, I would say don't take things personally when you're in this process. It's hard. And you might hear someone might say something and it might offend you because you think, well, wait a minute, this is my house and I like that. And that's fine and that's your style, but it may not be a style for everyone. So if you hear something that you don't quite like, don't take offense at it. No one's trying to hurt your feelings. That's hard, I think, for people. It's hard for me to hear, oh my gosh, well, as long as, you know, it's said tactfully, like, well, maybe we should do this or this. But just realize that people aren't trying to attack you personally. They want to help you do everything that you can to sell your house. And third piece of advice is take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and remember to breathe because you can do this and you can get through it.
That is amazing. So thank you again for being on the show today. I really can't thank you enough. Everything you've said, it just completely hit the nail on the head. It's amazing. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. This is like, it's like, oh, I'm like a fangirl right now.
No, I think it's great. And I think it's really important for a seller like you to like share your perspective. Because I think also a lot of times in the industry, home stagers actually don't like sellers staging their house. Not because
yeah.
they're going to be out of a job, but because they feel like sometimes home stagers, maybe they missed the mark or they just misunderstand what staging is. So
right.
for someone like me who's teaching people how to stager themselves, home stagers kind of get upset over that. But I think it's important because, you know, the sellers we interview on the show, you, Agnes, and Kirsty, and Angie, I mean, there's not really an immediate need, I mean, immediate assets to stagers
right.
in their area. So it's like really important for sellers like you guys where you just found out there's nobody who's really staging horse properties, like you really didn't know how to approach it. So
yeah.
I feel very lucky to be able to provide resources for you guys. But yeah, that's really one of the reasons why we're doing the podcast. It's to really help people understand and learn what home staging really is and it's not. And also I'm very direct, so it's just always kind of like say it like it is. I think
yeah.
when people watch HGTV, they kind of get a different sense of things because they're shooting, I mean, when they shoot an episode, like I've been on an HGTV episode before where we staged two of the houses they shot. It's a half an hour show with like, what, 10, like 8 minutes of advertisement. So it's 22 minutes really for half an hour. And they spent a whole weekend to shoot. So to be able to like condense that footage down, they have to pick what's like either the most dramatic, whatever the storyline is. And they don't necessarily show the true work that goes into staging. And
sure.
the true value of staging either. Because a lot of times we see numbers being misrepresented where they're like, we staged this house for like $100. But it doesn't really account for like all the labor and materials that people had to supply.
Right.
Because HGTV had crews, you know, they had carpenters to build custom furniture. in real life, those are really, really expensive. But right. now it's much better where you have shows like Million Dollar Listing, where they're just like very realistic for in terms of numbers. I mean, like Frederick stages a house, it's like 10 grand. But mm-hmm. then again, he's selling a house for like $5 million. So they yeah. need to be high-end staging. But at least the number is more realistic that people kind of understand the labor and the love that goes behind it and what really home stagers do.
Yes.
So thanks again for being on the show and have a wonderful evening. And I can't wait to hear how it all turns out.
Awesome. That'll be so great. And I was like, Sandy, I moved.
Yay! I'm so excited to hear that. So thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
So that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't left a review on iTunes, please do so. It's really going to help others to find our show. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, you can comment on the show notes or join our private Facebook group. Just search for The Home Staging Show on Facebook. You can find the show notes by going to www.stagemore.com/podcast. That's it. Have a fantastic week and happy staging.